the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 1 to 11. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that your Son may glorify you just as you gave him authority over all people, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they should know him, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory I had with you before the world began. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you, because the words you gave me I have given to them, and they accepted them, and truly understood that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world, while I am coming to you. And so the Gospel of the Lord. We've been given to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. How are you going to behave because you belong to God? To some, this is a very serious sort of thing. And recently, I've received some complaints from Catholics who find the priests in their parish too strict, too concerned with formalities and manners that will protect a Christian way of life. And indeed, a case can be made for this, but we don't want to take it too far. We can all find examples of people who have been too strict, too inflexible in their understanding of the Christian way of life. I would like to explore some possibilities of how we might want to behave as we have experienced this protracted time of our Easter celebration and the truly remarkable statement of today's gospel that we belong to the Lord and to the very Father of all. Not just to behave well, but actually to belong to God. What does that mean? Think of the people who have had the most positive influence in your life, perhaps a parent or teacher or coach, or perhaps it's an old friend that after many years has had a deep and lasting influence on your life. Let's think of some of these people with these gospel phrases fresh in our minds. I revealed to you the name, I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of this world. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you because of the words you gave me I have given to them. And again, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours and everything of mine is yours and everything of yours is mine. And I've been glorified in them. I would have to say that I do not spend a great deal of time with this sort of prayerful thinking. My life is filled with projects and difficulties and decisions to be made, and my prayer is often limited in spiritual consciousness to a solution of the day-to-day problems of life. Yet the Easter experience and these wonderful days leading up to Pentecost encourage me to possess a more wonderful spirit of this season of fulfillment. Think of the people who have loved you and had a real impact on your life. What did they really see in you? How can you develop that and let that grow? I recall a wonderful person who befriended me when I was first a Dominican. I was very ordinary in my school performance, and still am today. And I loved sports and was socially active and all those things. There's nothing there above the ordinary. But my friend, Father Jack, saw something in me and called out the goodness that he found, but I certainly could not see. Jack, although he was our provincial at the time, never drove a car. He was too nervous, I think. So he would call upon a student to be his driver. I think it was a way of establishing friendships with them, with all of us. Once on the 4th of July, he asked me to go for a walk with him. And as we descended the stairs of our priory in San Francisco, we encountered the Vicar General of the diocese, and Jack wished him a happy 4th of July, and then went on to claim that this was really the greatest feast day of all. The vicar was a bit taken aback and countered with, well, perhaps Corpus Christi. Oh, no, Jack bellowed. 4th of July. Well, that day we walked all the way to the beach in San Francisco and back about 8 miles, passing Stowe Lake and Golden Gate Park. and we rented a boat. And while out on the water, we encountered a couple whose battery had failed, and so we put them in our boat and rescued them amid mock cheers from people along the shore of a very small lake. In those days, we both had our clerical suits on and Roman collars, and so went the day. But in spite of these mock heroics and other adventures, my friend called forth a greater confidence in me and in myself. These are the very things that friends can teach us. And so in this Easter time, reflecting on the way in which Jesus has reached out to each one of us, I would like us to focus and point my prayer on this belonging to Christ and to the Father. What should this mean in the light of the challenge and opportunities that I face each day? But more than that, let me set aside my problem-centered prayer style and focus on the sheer joy of the mystery of God's possession, of the very depths and mystery of my being. I really do not spend enough time with this sort of reflection. Let the beauty of these late spring days and the hopefulness of the Lenten journey through Easter and on into the time of joyful celebration now find expression in our experience of prayerfulness. Not so much of thankful joy, but a deeper discovery of the wonder and unique expression of God's love and choice of each one of us. We belong to the Son of God and so to the Father. Can I imagine such a thing? I'd like to suggest a little exercise that this startling knowledge can provoke. And that is we spend some time at prayer applying the discovery of how this relationship with God, this incredible love in Jesus, is being realized in the lives of the people we encounter every day. This takes a little work for me because it's all too easy to find that the first thing that comes to mind is the annoying faults of others and then just shut off the deeper discovery that's there and the personal application of the Christian life, that's really what it's all about. But we can set that aside and focus our energies on really listening to people and moving beyond problems, requests, and difficulties, the inner beauty of that person's soul. Often, this is best seen when we move beyond superficial first encounters and discover the unique beauty that lies in the depths of the heart of another person. I can honestly say that through the years, some of the people I have known who've had the biggest problems and had lived through impossible circumstances often reveal the most remarkable beauty of soul as they long for the healing and recognition of God. Well, we'll soon enough return to our problem-solving mode of life. It'd be good for this time to indulge in the luxury of these lasting, beautiful days long enough, carefully enough, to discover that part of another human being that belongs most directly to God, and so to discover God in reality. During this special time of beauty and fulfillment, may God grant you many such discoveries and blessings.